Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Welcome back to Money FM 89.3. And while markets here trade in fairly sluggish and uninspired fashion after the long Christmas weekend, we are coming to the end of a very memorable 2021. And as we head into the new year, there are maybe more questions than answers, actually, for markets trying to find direction amidst all the uncertainties brought about by the new Omicron variant of COVID-19, inflation, and other possible risks. Of course, with these risks, we might also spot opportunities. And to help us better understand all of this, we are joined once again by the folks at Azure Capital to help us recap the month and the year that was, and to help talk to us about what they're looking out for in the year ahead. Today on Money FM 89.3, we're pleased to be joined by Mr. David Chawa, director at Azure Capital, to do just that. David, thank you so much for joining us. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health during these times. And welcome to the show, sir. Hope you had a great Christmas weekend.
Hi, JP. Hi, listeners. Yes, all the best to all the listeners out there amid this festive season.
Now, December can be argued to have brought up more questions than answers for markets as we head into the new year. And you can count them on your fingers. The uncertainty or ongoing uncertainty with regards to the Omicron variant of COVID-19, persistently high inflation, and other factors that investors might need to take stock of. How is all of these and how are all of these uncertainties feeding into Azure Capital's outlook as we head into 2022?
Well, I'm of the view that the market is still recovering and will be recovering into the new year. However, the pace could be slower than, you know, what was initially expected. The biggest headwind per se will definitely be how the Omicron variant will affect our lives. The transmissible rate for this variant is currently about 4.2 times currently, and I'm not sure whether it will evolve to something much more sinister than this. I certainly crossing my fingers for that. So the uncertainty as to, you know, how the governments around the world will choose to do to tackle it may reflect on the market in a more pronounced manner as we proceed. But it seems that restrictive measures we put in place for some places in Europe, or in fact it has already been put in place in certain places in Europe, as what we have already seen so far. And another worry I feel that, you know, based on my conversations with market participants, is that globally markets certainly continuing to watch events in China. You know, economic data of late, you know, has been a letdown. So especially in the third quarter. So it now has becoming increasingly clear that the initial strong Chinese recovery, you know, following its success in controlling the virus, you know, led by exports and production, has not been pared back somewhat. So this slowdown, you know, has made market nervous, and, you know, which could lead to some volatility in the coming months. We also have seen, you know, oil prices going up, you know, mainly due to global oil and gas exploration and production being underinvested, you know, over the last few years. You know, and we have seen the U.S. shale oil drillers have been, you know, focusing on boosting returns to investors, and all these developments actually have been delayed. So, you know, currently oil prices are very well supported in my opinion. And I mean, of course, if oil prices continue to inch higher, this will actually feed into inflation, which will lead to more market jittery, you know, as this may quicken the rate increases from the U.S. Fed. Speaking about the Fed, the market is also looking at communications from the Fed very closely, as the market remains focused on, you know, further labor market progress, whether consumers will actually spend a significant portion of their savings accumulated, you know, on, you know, on services and things like that. So across major economies, you know, the market appears to be pricing in a small and gradual rise in interest rate over the next few years. Amid the volatility, you know, I urge investors to be aware of the economic backdrop.
So David, higher interest rates, tighter policy, I mean, this is what might be expected in the year ahead. This not exactly as conducive an environment for equity markets, perhaps, especially compared to the last 2 years of unprecedented stimulus. Are equity markets going to be able to extend gains against this potentially tighter environment?
I do think so, at least for the earlier part of the year, because, I mean, at this moment, it must be pointed out that the Fed, you know, they are still printing money to inject liquidity into the market, and this is what is driving the market now. When we get to that stage whereby, you know, the injection is gradually slowed down when asset purchases end, you know, the Fed will still not reduce its holdings immediately, and it's not going to withdraw its liquidity anytime soon. So therefore, throughout, you know, the first half of 2022, before the Fed, you know, starts to raise interest rates, you know, we can still expect market liquidity to keep increasing and that, you know, monetary policy will still be supportive of the stock.
We're still speaking to David Chow, director at Azure Capital, here on Money FM 89.3 about their outlook for the year ahead and also what they made of the last year of 2021. Now, in the latter half of 2021, David, a lot was made about the advent of SPACs being allowed on the SJX. Now, as we mentioned, we have to go back to that potentially tighter monetary policy environment and also the possibility of SPAC listings also coming on the Hong Kong Exchange. Could either of these actually remove some of the possible luster from SPAC listings as we head into the year ahead and its potential impact on listings and capital market activity here?
Okay, with regards to the tighter monetary policy, I will have to point out to the U.S. first, because in the U.S., SPACs are typically priced at a nominal $10 per unit. So unlike a traditional IPO of an operating company, the SPAC U.S. listing is not really based on the valuation of an existing business. And we know how much, you know, interest rate will tend to shape the valuation of, you know, stocks going to be listed in the stock markets by the discount rate and the impact of, you know, of future cash flow when we put the rate inputs in the financial models. So for the ones who are eyeing to list on SJX, it may follow this nominal pricing model for all we know. So the possible higher interest rate shouldn't affect the pricing on the SPAC, but rather on the sentiments on IPOs and SPAC listing. I mean, definitely if the stock market somehow becomes uncomfortable and starts to exhibit volatility closer to the projected timeline of a SPAC listing, that particular listing could be postponed. And okay, your second part of the question will be on competing with Hong Kong. So on that, I will have to say, for the longest time, we'll be competing with Hong Kong for a lot of things, head to head. And on this particular note, I will have to say that even though Hong Kong is a latecomer to the SPAC frenzy, being with Singapore being with the local exchange given the SPAC listing approval in September, and I think only Hong Kong only gave the approval like 2 weeks ago. So this to many could be that Hong Kong has taken a step back, is more relaxed about this. But we shouldn't let this cloud our judgment in the sense that Hong Kong has shown that they could implement changes decisively just by looking at how they allow companies classified as in the emerging and innovative sectors to list using dual class share structures in 2018. And this has allowed tech companies like Xiaomi and Alibaba to list on the Hong Kong market subsequently. So for that, don't discount Hong Kong yet, even though it was late to approve the SPAC listings. So, in terms of the difference between the requirements, in the nutshell, I would say Hong Kong for now definitely has a slightly more stringent requirement than Singapore in the sense of requiring a minimum market cap, slightly higher than Singapore. And looking at the whole, they also have a stricter regime, probably because of the long-term crackdown on shell companies and related market misconduct in the past. But this doesn't mean that it will attract lesser listings because sponsors may still find the gateway to China factor appealing, as well as a stricter regime, meaning more quality, which may appeal to certain investors as well. If you ask me, it's hard to gauge at this point which exchange will be more popular.
So, David, just to wrap things up, I think one of the big questions everyone asks as we head into the year ahead is looking for possible sectoral plays or perhaps things to watch out for in terms of opportunities. What sectors are you going to be watching out closely next year, either for better or worse? What sort of sectors will Azure Capital have their eyes on more closely than others, for instance?
Okay, we'll certainly look at the oil sector because, one of our holdings, Marco Polo Marine, has done very well this year in terms of share price movement. So we are still expecting, oil to gradually recover, which will continue to support the entire oil and gas holdings in the entire value chain. So we'll be certainly looking out at this sector. The other sector that we are looking out will be also the hospitality place, especially for the SGX listed ones. Because if you look at the income structure closely, you will see that, for their revenue, they have a fixed slash minimum rent, including master lessee of between 33% to 77% thereabout. So this alone will act as a downside buffer to top line growth. So this is certainly a space which our investors could monitor closely.
David Chow, director for Azure Capital, thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3 to help us get a better handle of how markets might look next year and also helping us recap the month that was for Singapore's markets. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times. We would look forward to the next time you can join us on the show. Meanwhile, do stay safe, sir, and we hope you have a great final weekend to 2021.
Thank you. You too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.